You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
On February 20th, 2009, Conan O'Brien was moved from his popular NBC late night show after 16 years on the air. He would soon take over as the host of The Tonight Show while Jay Leno was moved to the 10 o'clock slot. It sounds simple enough, but few could have predicted how tumultuous things would become on late-night TV during the following months. New York Times media reporter Bill Carter details that story in his new book, The War for Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy. It's published by Viking, and I'm very pleased that it brings Mr. Carter to our show. Hello.
Great to be with you, Leonard.
In The Late Shift, which was published in 1994, you wrote about the struggle between David Letterman and Jay Leno to succeed Johnny Carson as host of The Tonight Show. When NBC announced these plans, did you think, uh-oh, here we go again?
I kind of hoped so.
Oh, you thought there was another book there?
Kind of. I mean, really what I thought was when they announced that Jay was going to 10, that they were really walking into like a swinging door. And I kind of thought that's where it would all go wrong for them.
And a lot of people were predicting this was a big mistake. But yeah. What led NBC, I guess it was then CEO Jeff Zucker, to come up with this idea?
Well, although it was explained as this new paradigm where they were going to save money by putting a cheaper show at 10 o'clock, because shows don't do well at 10 o'clock really now. Really, it was about keeping Jay and not having him go to the competition, because they had made this plan and put it in motion 5 years earlier that Jay would step down at the end of his contract and Conan would get the deal. And they thought Jay would probably be fading by then, but he wasn't. He was still number one. And so they looked at the future and thought, well, if we don't keep Jay, he'll go to another network and then he'll beat Conan and we'll look like idiots.
This is a demographics consideration?
Well, In a
Conan
way,
appeal to the younger people, 18 to 34.
Yes, the 18 to 49 audience is what sells more than anything else in television. So they thought Conan is younger, 15 years younger than Jay, and he has a stronger appeal to that audience. But Jay was still doing well with that audience when they made that move, and I think they were surprised.
Although the latest ratings are in, and Entertainment Weekly reports that the first 6 weeks at his new network, Conan O'Brien has ranked as TV's top late-night talk show among adults, 18 to 34.
Yes. He's very strong with a particularly young audience. That's what kind of bothered NBC in the long run, because he was too narrow, they said. He only appealed to that audience. He didn't
that's
have
what
a
advertisers audience. Like, isn't it?
They do, and that's why he'll be fine where he is. But NBC had this image of The Tonight Show as the show for everybody, not just for that young audience.
How soon after NBC announced its plans did you get started writing this book?
Well, I pitched the book after the 10 o'clock thing was proposed, but it really kicked off a year ago, because that's when they decided they would take Jay back to the Tonight Show or to 11:30 and push Conan to midnight. And it blew up last January. And I thought, now I have a story. Now there's conflict. Now Conan doesn't know what to do. He steps away, resigns. It became far more interesting.
Well, didn't NBC learn any lesson from what happened with Letterman?
Well, that's the funny part. They thought they were going to avoid that. This is the whole thing was, let's put a transition in place that's smooth so we don't have conflict. And we'll avoid that problem, and Bill Carter won't have another book. That was really kind of their thought process.
And then they won't make a movie from it.
And then they'll move. Nothing will happen. But it just blew up anyway, and it kind of proves the theory, which is a mathematical theory, which is that two will never go into one. There's one seat. There's two guys with rear ends, and they can't fit in the same seat.
But I guess they were counting on Leno pulling in a decent audience. Yes. Why was the 10 o'clock show such a flop?
Well,
after
all,
he got big stars come
he
by.
Did.
He has the same writers who are funny at 11:30. Why weren't they funny at 10 o'clock?
Well, they were funny in the same way. But in late night, you're sort of willing to say, okay, one out of three jokes is good. I don't care. I'm going to bed. In primetime, it's like, wait, this guy's one out of three jokes? This isn't very good. And I think that really was the crux of the problem. You can't take the format of late night and move it into primetime without it being elevated in some way. I said in the book, hour-long comedy shows have worked in television's past. Jackie Gleason had a great show. Carol Burnett had a great show. Once a week, they would take all the material that wasn't very good and they'd get rid of it before their show. Jay was doing material on the air that he shouldn't really have been doing because it wasn't working.
Now, Carson hosted The Tonight Show for 30 years. He was 67 when he finally left the show. Did Leno have thoughts about hosting the show into his 60s?
Leno is the kind of guy who will work until you tell him to stop. He's like a wind-up toy whose battery never goes down. So he never had a thought about stepping aside at all. If they didn't come to him and say, well, we want to do this, he would have just kept rolling along.
So when did Zucker take up the matter with Leno?
Well, he took up the matter with Leno when Leno's contract would renew every – he had 5-year deals, but he renewed them after 3 and extend. That's what he would kind of do. And it was one of his regular periods to do that, and he – Jeff Zucker knew that Conan had offers from Fox to go to Fox, and he was afraid he'd lose Conan. So he went to Jay at that point and said, we'll renew you, we'll extend for 5 years, but at that point it's the end, and we'll have Conan come on. Now, only because Jay doesn't have an agent and a manager, because he disdains that now, did this ever happen. Because an agent or manager would have told NBC, look, you can make plans with Conan all you want, but we're not taking Jay off the air. Whatever happens in 5 years happens. It really was a function of a lot of different pieces coming together.
But they were also responding to pressure from Conan, weren't they? He had aired grievances as early as 2001.
Yes, he had serious offer from Fox. Conan was making about $8 million a year, which sounds great, but Fox offered him $21 million a year. And he turned that down with the promise of The Tonight Show. That's the only thing that he would have kept him there. So they had to promise him The Tonight Show. And, yes, he had big-time agents, and they were pressuring NBC and saying, if you don't do this, Conan will leave.
Well, didn't he look to Letterman's dealings with NBC as guidance on what to do? Letterman landed on his feet.
Yeah, Letterman landed on his feet and did great. But you know what? Letterman still carries a scar. He's still on the air every year talking about how he got passed at Passover. It's the same joke every year. You know, Passover, that's what happens. That Jewish holiday, and it's what happened to me at NBC. It does the same joke every year. He still feels it. Losing The Tonight Show meant something to Dave, so Conan wanted The Tonight Show.
Well, Conan now has those Passover jokes to make.
He does, and it'll be interesting to see whether he continues to pick on NBC the same way that Dave does.
My guest is Bill Carter, whose latest book is The War from Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy. It's published by Viking. How did Leno and Conan regard each other? Were they friendly?
They were on the surface friendly.
Collegial.
Collegial for sure. There was no conflict on the surface. Beneath the surface, I think Jay was fine with Conan as a guy and everything. He didn't get him. He didn't get his humor. And Conan's a quirky guy, a quirky comedian. On the other side, the people around Conan, I would hear, didn't have any respect for Jay. Thought he was a hack. Conan never expressed that. Him personally, he never expressed that. But the guys around Conan would say, when is he going to leave the stage? Conan deserves it. He's so much better. So there was friction in that kind of level.
They did come to Late Night from very different roots. Jay Leno was a typical stand-up comedian.
Correct.
And he filled in for Johnny.
Yes.
Conan went from Harvard right to SNL and then The Simpsons. And,
yes, he was a writer.
Yeah, and then suddenly he was given Late Night.
And that was in itself miraculous. This is a guy who was very gifted writer and still is a gifted writer and was a hot writer in Hollywood. You know, he was considered to be the hottest writer in The Simpsons, and he was going to make all these writer's deals. And he just basically said to his manager at the time, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to perform. I want to be a performer. And he wound up getting a show out of nowhere. It would be like pulling a guy out of the subway and putting him on the air.
And NBC obviously had a lot of faith in him. They had him host the Emmys.
After a while. Initially, they had no faith in him because he started out struggling in his late night show, and he almost was fired, very, very close to being fired, only because they didn't have another host did he survive. But finally, he broke through. He got on cover of Rolling Stone. He started to, you know, get a following, and then they put him on the Emmys, and he did very well.
Another character that we have to deal with is Ari Emanuel, the Hollywood power agent who's Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Yes.
How does he factor into the dealings between NBC, Conan, and Leno?
He is Conan's top agent, and he had a very good relationship with Jeff Zucker. One of these relationships where they'd call each other on the phone daily and sort of curse each other out in a funny kind of way. And he would constantly call Jeff Zucker and say, hey, you know what? If you don't give Conan the show, he's going to leave. So he was pushing, as he should. I mean, I don't criticize anybody for that. That's what an agent is supposed to do. And he put, you know, they planted the seed that Conan would be, a star somewhere else, and you'd be embarrassed if you lose Conan, and he's the future, and it definitely played a hand in this.
Well, you mentioned that Leno doesn't have a manager, but he did have one at the time
yes.
of the war with Letterman,
yes.
He was kind of embarrassed by his manager's
actions.
Yes, and
that's why he doesn't have one anymore, because she, Helen Kushnick, who became the executive producer of his Tonight Show initially, went through Hollywood like Sherman went through the South and alienated everybody and almost cost him the job. And he really had he had to tear himself away from her, because she had – to be fair to her, she had gotten him the show. But he wound up saying, I'll never do this again. I'll never be beholden to a manager again. Why should I need a manager? All I want to do is this show anyway.
But was it also because people blamed him for what had happened than her?
No question. He took a lot of heat for that. And in Jay's head, one of the reasons he went along with this five-year plan was he didn't want to be put in position again of being the guy who forced a guy out of NBC. He forced Dave out. Then he was going to force Conan out. He didn't want to be that guy.
Well, when was Conan assured that he'd be hosting The Tonight Show, and did Jay Leno know what was going
on? No, he didn't. Before they went to Jay and told him about this five-year plan, they had already promised it to Conan. He had to keep quiet about it. As a matter of fact, he had to keep so quiet about it that he and his staff, his representatives, basically dissembled and said, oh, we're so unhappy they've renewed Jay for five more years. We don't know what Conan's going to do. When they already had a guarantee that at the end of these 5 years they would get the show. But they had promised Jay he'd have 6 months without them announcing the Conan thing. So they had to keep quiet for about 6 months.
This sounds like what happens in the Larry Sanders Show.
You know, it's funny. Someone at work at the New York Times was talking to me about this the other day. Larry Sanders, you can see the repeats. And a lot of the themes do repeat themselves in Late Night a lot. And it's very interesting to me, because when Larry Sanders came out, it was right after my first book, The Late Shift. And they took several of the plots out of that book and did use them. And it played out again in sort of similar ways.
One of the plots in the last season was Jon Stewart being secretly groomed
exactly.
to take over for Larry Sanders.
Exactly.
And Larry Sanders has no idea that this is going on. Everything is being done
behind his back. Yes.
Back channel is the phrase you use.
Right. Exactly. And I do think that's one of the things about Late Night that's fascinating, is it's so much about these guys, these individuals, and you get to know them in a certain way. And there's all personality, big, big personalities at work here.
So when NBC announced all these changes, did they handle it well?
Well, you know, when they announced the five-year plan, I think everybody thought, well, this is a daring thing to do, because who in television knows what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes rather than 5 years? But they kept both guys. I think this is an underrated aspect of this. What Zucker did, he for 5 years kept his two stars on the air and made money. If NBC had been able to keep Letterman for 5 years, imagine how successful that would have been. So he made a lot of money by making that plan. It blew up on him at the end, and you have to then sort of measure that against the success he had in keeping them.
Because Conan's people trusted NBC. They didn't think it would change its mind during the time and reneging
on
the deal.
They didn't totally trust them. They they wound up getting a little bit of a gun to NBC's head, because they got a $45 million penalty payment if Conan didn't wind up with the show. So essentially at the end, when NBC did have a choice, they could have said, no, we're not going to replace Jay in the end. It would have cost them $45 million to pay off Conan.
And then Jay Leno incorporated what was happening at NBC into his routine. He made that re-gifting joke. I gave Conan something I got 15 years ago.
Yes, that was around Christmas time. And he's Jay got bitter after he's accepted this. And in the years in between, he didn't want to leave. So he would make jokes about NBC's treatment of him. And one was, he asked his band leader, do you believe in regifting? I regifted the show. So
was everybody happy with those jokes?
They liked them. I think NBC felt like you always have to make jokes about what's going on in your life. You got to do it. You can't not make those jokes.
But then it also opened the door to jokes from other people.
Well, that was
David Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel.
That was amazing. I mean, what was striking to me, it was all happening last January, was how this dominated all of the late night scene, because every one of the other guys had to react to what was happening to NBC. And clearly for Letterman, it's an unending scar. And he knows Jay, so he had a lot of fun picking on Jay, kicking him around. And, you know, Kimmel loved it, because he got put on a Jay mask, basically, and did a whole show as Jay and got a lot of attention for that. And everybody was making jokes about it. It was great television.
Bill Carter is with the New York Times. He's also the author of the bestseller Late Shift, two other books on television industry, Monday Night Mayhem and Desperate Networks. His latest is called The War for Late Night. When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy. It's published by Viking. We'll continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Bill Carter of the New York Times. His latest book, The War for Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy, published by Viking. We've talked about Conan being wooed by other networks. When all of this started happening, was Jay Leno being wooed by other networks?
Oh, yes. I mean, they looked at the situation and thought, boy, this is teed up for us beautifully. The NBC is getting rid of the number one guy in late night. You know, we have to go after him. So both Fox and ABC made, you know, serious approaches to Jay. ABC got very close. I mean, Jay clearly and made a lot of jokes on the air, by the way, about going to ABC and Fox. He said, Fox is nice this time of year, I hear it, and things like that. But ABC really was lined up to the point where he actually talked to Jimmy Kimmel, their late night host, about let's go together. I'll go at 11:30. You move back to 12:30. And really kind of he didn't have a relationship with Kimmel, but he sort of played up that and tried to make Jimmy not upset because he didn't want to then force Jimmy out. And that probably would have been how it would have worked out. But, I just don't think Jay wanted to leave. He hates the idea of going someplace new.
He was also offered his own weekly Saturday Night Live type show.
And, on Sunday night. They were going to put him on Sunday night. And that was what NBC decided. We got to find something to offer this guy. So they offered him Sunday night, basically a Sunday night 90-minute show. They offered him a Bob Hope deal where he came on every once in a while and did a special.
Why wouldn't he want to do that?
He wants to work every night, and he wants to tell jokes every night. Every night. He wants to.
I wish WNYC would offer me a Bob Hope deal.
Consider this. He actually gone to NBC on a previous occasion and asked them. He works 46, 48 weeks a year. And he says, look, I know the staff needs a vacation. I'd like to work 52 weeks a year. Can we get a temporary staff for the other weeks? I'm serious. And during the week, when Jay will do a Tonight Show, he will leave three nights a week and fly to Vegas after the show and perform. This guy does 160, 180 dates a year stand-up in addition to 48 weeks on Tonight
His staff show. Must love all of this.
Not entirely.
So what was their reaction when it was announced that the Jay Leno show would move to 10 p.m.?
Well, I think a lot of people were skeptical. I think there was an awful lot of doubt that he could do it.
And then what was their reaction when it was announced just January 7th last year that on March 1st, the Jay Leno show would move from the 10 p.m. slot back to 11:35?
Enormous relief on Jay's part because he thought he was being fired. He thought he was being canceled. The show failed and he knew it failed.
How bad were his ratings?
They were so bad that the stations were going to take him off the air. The local stations were getting killed. Their 11 o'clock news were doing so poorly that they went to NBC and basically they canceled Jay because they said, we're taking him off. If you don't take him off, we'll take him off.
And was Conan holding his own?
Conan was not doing great by certainly the Tonight Show standards. Letterman was beating him. Letterman was beating him consistently toward the end. I think Conan's point was, you got to leave me in place. I will be able to grow. That's what my history was in the late night show. But there's no doubt NBC had reason to be worried because his numbers had fallen off.
So he how long did it take for him to decide that he was going to leave NBC?
Well, they came to him and they said, we're going to move you back to midnight, actually 12:05. Now, they did it in a very ham-handed way because it had leaked out and they had to rush this meeting to, and he was not treated very well at all. And he felt finally, you know, look, they promised me all this. They're not giving me what they promised. He felt personally offended. Now, he didn't really have a very solid offer at that point, and he had to decide, is this really something good for my career or not? And basically it came down to a matter of integrity. He just decided, I'm not putting up with this. And he put out this manifesto basically, where he said, I will not allow the Tonight Show to be treated this way.
How important was the money to Leno?
To Leno or to Conan?
Or to both of them.
Less important to – well, Leno's always been, you know, interested in making money because he works so much. He obviously is interested in making money. But he has always – this is incredible. But he's always said that every bit of money he makes from NBC, he never spends. He banks it all. All of it. 20-plus million a year, never spends any of it. He only lives off his gig money. This is, and of course, he does buy expensive cars and all that, right? But that's his thing in life. He wants to work. He doesn't have any other interests, Jay. Conan has a family and obviously wants to be successful and make money. But this was clearly not about money for him. I mean, he took a lot less money to go to TBS, so it's not about money.
Well, he was embarrassed.
He was embarrassed. He was kind of humiliated that they gave him a show and yanked him off the air in 7 months.
A listener wrote into our show page, Leno had more power than he thought, but in trying to please everyone, he did the exact opposite, creating a complete mess.
Yes.
You agree?
Yes. He had more power than he thought. Many agents have told me this. He was the number one guy in late night. I always think if David Letterman was in this position and they came to him and said, we're going to take you off the air in 5 years, and he was number one, he would have picked up the NBC executive and thrown him out the window, because he would never have sat for that. Jay, because of his sensitivity about how he's perceived, made decisions that wound up actually affecting his image negatively again.
Well, part of his approach is to come across as a wise guy. I mean, that is his shtick. So
yes,
if people perceive him as a wise guy.
But he wants to be liked desperately. He desperately wants to be liked. And, you know, you can go through the psychology of this, but he had a mother that was not very warm, and I think it's affected his life. He talks about her a lot. There's a lot of very interesting psychological stuff involving these guys.
Bill Carter of the New York Times is here. His latest book, The War for Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy, published by Viking. We have a clip of Conan on his last night on The Tonight Show.
Okay.
Let's listen to it.
Making this choice has been enormously difficult. This is the best job in the world. I absolutely love doing it. And I have the best staff and crew in the history of the medium. I will fight anybody who says I don't, but no one would. but despite this sense of loss, I really feel this should be a happy moment. Every comedian dreams of hosting The Tonight Show. And for 7 months, I got to do it. And I did it my way, with people I love. I do not regret 1 second of anything that we've done here. And, yeah.
Rather classy.
Very classy.
And then he started making snide remarks.
But I can tell you, I saw him for the book maybe a month later. Spent a long day with him. He was an emotional wreck. This was a tremendously traumatic experience for the guy. He wasn't eating. He looked terrible. He was really in bad shape. You can hear the emotion in his voice there. Tremendously emotional thing he went through.
How much did he receive to walk away?
$32 million.
Oh, gee. And he was an emotional wreck?
Yes, because it's really – if you think about it, it's all about these guys. Every night they go out and the public either accepts them or rejects them. And essentially his network rejected him in public. It was really difficult psychologically for him, I think. He was built up to be the next host of The Tonight Show, this great institution, and then was yanked away from him. And basically the network said, you're not good enough. It was painful, clearly.
And a lot of people blamed Leno for the whole thing.
Yeah, they did.
Should he be blamed for anything?
I can't see that because, look, there's no way Jay put himself at 10 o'clock and deliberately failed so then he would hurt Conan, so then Conan would get – that just – nobody's that Machiavellian. Nor could he have invited that kind of, you know, opprobrium. I think Jay just does things in a very monomaniacal way. He just wants to be on the air telling jokes. It's not that he wants to hurt anybody else. It's not that he wants to wreck anyone's career. It's just what he wants to do. And sometimes there's collateral damage.
A listener says on our show page, Joan Rivers was next in line after Carson until she disastrously took the offer from Fox.
Yes, that happened. And that was famous because she was the substitute host for Johnny. And instead of waiting for Johnny to retire, she got an offer from Fox and behind his back, didn't tell Johnny about it, and went and took it. Johnny always said, if she'd come to me and said, I got another deal, he probably would have said, well, okay, do what you have to do. But that did hurt her career for sure.
Well, how important is the slot? Because if she would have taken that job, do you think she would have succeeded?
Was it the
network that you're on, does that affect how people perceive you?
I don't think Joan would have lasted long enough. Johnny went on for too long for her to have succeeded. They would have gone for Jay or Dave anyway. The Tonight Show was the dominant show that everyone wanted to be on. It's not anymore. There's a lot of these shows, and you can watch them anytime. This is one of the things that's hurt late night. You can record them or you can watch the highlights on YouTube the next day. It's not what it once was. So the idea that it was this big dream for Conan, I think, got a little overinflated. I have a great section of the book where Jerry Seinfeld comes and tells me, look, What is the Tonight Show? It's a name on a card. That's all it is. It's about the guy. When Johnny was there, it was Johnny's show. When Jay was there, it was Jay's show. He said, Dave's show is Dave's show. When he leaves, do you think it's going to be the late show with somebody else? It's Dave's show.
And the same thing applies to other shows. Jon Stewart. Nobody calls it The Daily Show.
No. And Jon Stewart is a perfect example. He's on cable. What's the difference? He's hosted the Oscars twice. How has it hurt his career? I mean, he's as big as Jay Leno is.
Well, where does he fit in this equation? How are his ratings?
His ratings are good. They're not big like The Tonight Show, but they're young. They're very sellable. People make a lot of money off them. And he wins the Emmy Award every year. He's won 8 years in a row.
And he gets quoted more than Jay Leno.
More than anyone
too.
Else. He's doing political satire. It's a little bit of a different show, I have to say. But it's enormously successful.
But Jay Leno sometimes does really clever political jokes.
He does, but then the next segment is reading headlines, and then he does celebrity interviews. John interviews political guests and authors.
In a recent NBC press release, it was announced that their late night lineup delivered ratings wins for the fourth quarter of 2010. In the end, even though Conan has the 18 to 34s, overall, Jay Leno is still doing the best and Letterman is doing second best?
Yes, Jay is back. Jay is back winning consistently, which doesn't surprise me because Jay will work till the last dog dies. Letterman is coming to the end. He's not working the way he used to work, clearly. He's not ratcheting it up to take on Jay. He got ahead of Conan and then he's just sort of let it go. Conan's numbers are coming down. He's on a somewhat obscure channel. It's a little harder to find him. He's going to have a long-term issue with, whether people will turn that channel on and see his promotion and get, and watch him regularly.
Well, for NBC, this has to all be very important because they're not doing well over the rest of the weekday nights.
They're not, and they're about to change management. The Comcast company has bought NBC. And it'll be interesting to see what they think when they get in, because they'll have a different opinion, perhaps.
We don't have much time, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about Letterman's longevity, how he's been able to last all these years and overcome all of the
physical problems, et cetera. Yeah,
physical problems and scandals.
Scandals, of course. I think Dave is regarded in the comedy community as the most talented guy who's ever done this. He's a genius, except he's reached a point where he doesn't really extend himself, and yet he still can do a pretty good show. I watched last night. He had a fantastic interview with Brian Williams. It's just funny, just really, really funny. But, he doesn't really extend himself anymore. I don't think he's going to do it much longer. I really don't. I think he's coming to the end.
I had a friend who's no longer alive, but she has she had a wonderful Mexican restaurant, and she was invited on his show, and she turned it down. And I said, why would you turn it down? And she said, I have no desire to be making guacamole while David Letterman is sticking his fingers down his throat behind me and getting laughs.
Yeah. Well,
I imagine that's a problem for all of them. Certain people do not want to put themselves in that situation.
And Dave is a harder guy to do. He's tougher. You can't just go on his show. He wants you to be funny. He wants you to bring something to the table. And if you don't, he'll make you pay for it.
Bill Carter's latest book is called The War for Late Night, When Leno Went Early and Television Went Crazy. It's published by Viking. It's my sense that you're saying, finally, that Jay Leno won, and he's going to win in the future.
I think he'll be number one for a while, and I think this is his natural habitat. He's back in his natural habitat, and he'll thrive there.
Would any of the networks be tempted to hire Jon Stewart away from Comedy Central?
They all would. He won't do it.
Because he wants the freedom?
He loves the job he has. He loves doing what he's doing. He doesn't need it. The guy to look for is Stephen Colbert. He might be tempted because he's in second place there. So,
although on the other hand, Stephen Colbert is a more I don't know what word to use. I think he's brilliant.
He's brilliant.
But he's much more of an acquired taste, isn't he?
He is, but he's broadly talented and could change his act, I believe. He's very broadly talented.
Thank you so much, Bill Carter, for being on our show
today. Well, thank
you.
Appreciate it.